is the moment you've all been waiting for.
DC and RC.
Welcome to a brand new episode of DC.
Coming to you from Lafayette, Louisiana.
It's DC and RC.
Hailing from Marrero, Louisiana.
It's fight night. Catch your right hook in your right eye. Change how you look. Daniel, Cormier, yeah, and Ryan Clark, the champs are here. With battle scars, it's warfare. Louisiana's in the air. From Marrero to Lafayette to Los Angeles to Times Square.
Well, I could go one show without you going, I'm a Super Bowl champ.
When the mic's on, it's showtime. DC and RC, we winning Super Bowls and Emmys. And Daniel got two belts around the belly.
Oh! UFC history! Daniel Cormier!
Hey, I'm DC, two division champ. I ran the UFC.
Because we asking all the tough questions.
This guy's the worst, RC. I don't know how you can do a show.
DC, you broke my heart.
This is MMA, mixed martial all-stars. And we about that grinding pound, so be on guard. Round for round, cause we want it all, but there can only be one in the octagon. DC and RC, DC and RC, DC and RC, ESPN, tune in to see.
What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of DC and RC. It's 2024, and your boys are back. RC, let me tell you something. I miss your dancing. I miss your pretty face. It's been about 3 weeks. I don't know what I did and how I survived without you, my guy. How have your holidays been?
Too, man.
How excited are you to get back to work?
Man, I'm fired up, bro. We just drove last week from Tempe, Arizona to South Bend, Indiana. We did it in 26 hours. We dropped Jordan off at school, got to show Yonk, touchdown Jesus. She had never been there. So that was cool. So he's starting up. My daughter's birthday was yesterday. I've had a great holiday, but I miss you. And I just realized, bro, watching the intro to our show, you pointed your finger in my face. Now, you know good and dang well from Louisiana, you cannot be doing that to people. You lucky you can beat me up in real life, bro. That is fighting words.
RC, that's fighting words. They call those fighting words. Hey, that's fighting words. RC, coming up on the show, we're going to talk about some of the fights Dana White has announced. We always going to predict because, you know, we love to predict even though we don't predict anything right on DC and RC. That was shown at the end of last year's show. And as always, we tap in or we tap out. RC, honestly, though, I don't think I love anybody enough to sit in the car for 26 hours with him. It don't matter how much I love my child. That takes a toll on your body, man. And
the good part is, though, my kids are old. Right, so Jordan's 22. It was basically like riding with your homeboy. And Yonk was there, my dad was there. We made it a family thing, so it was cool.
Wow. It was like that the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when y'all driving all across the country in a van. That dude right here, man. Hey, though, last week, Conor McGregor made a crazy video where he was laughing, joking, going crazy, talking trash about Michael Chandler. So I figured, why wouldn't we have a guy that knows a couple things about talking join us to start the show? Chael Sonnen. This is the man with liners like, I can't let you get close. Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck. I mean, he is just one of the best in terms of grabbing a microphone. So we figured if we're going to get a talker, we're going to welcome in Uncle Chael. Uncle Chael, thanks again for joining us.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pumped to be here, guys. And by the way, you know, I don't know how much I buy that road trip. Like, when you started saying Grandpa was there, it sounded like there was a motorhome involved. It sounds like a very different trip, okay? Like, when an NFL guy does a road trip, sounds a little bit different than my idea.
No, see, Chael, what you got to understand, I'm not like Daniel, right? Daniel's a pampered pooch. He had that Dana White privilege. I'm still from the gutter. Chael, we had a Suburban, and we attached a U-Haul to it, and we had me, my dad, my wife, and the dog.
Yeah, sure.
That's what we did, and we rotated drivers based on gas stops.
Sure.
Chael.
And by drivers, you mean chauffeurs. Chael. Your chauffeur switched out.
Yeah, Chael, that NFL money is a lot different than that UFC money. This dude had a driver, and we have seen the way NFL guys travel on their coach. You might as well play for Arsenal or Manchester City with those big buses that those guys drive. Chael, last week Conor made that video, and he was talking about Michael Chandler and the weight class that they were going to fight. My first thought is, Michael Chandler is allowing this guy to dictate everything. What was your initial thought when you saw Conor McGregor, the video, and then the laugh at the end, the evil, maniacal laugh that, hey, Michael Chandler, this is my game. You're just lucky to be a part of it.
Well, first off, I must disclose to the audience, okay, we're citing our source here. Our source is Conor McGregor, who might be the world's worst source. I mean, it was 4 days earlier he told the world through the same platform known as X that he was going to be boxing Manny Pacquiao next. I mean, right, we really can't take Conor at his word too much, but it felt different. It felt very sincere when he said it. The UFC didn't confirm it, but they didn't deny it. There's not tickets on sale to confirm it, but there's not tickets on sale to deny it. Michael Chandler seemed like it was accurate information, but I just want to tell you guys what that information was. We got two pieces of the story. We got the opponent being Chandler, and we've got the date being June 29th. What we don't have is the weight class and, most importantly, the rounds. And the reason I tell you that, I don't know that we could expect a lot from Conor McGregor, who's returning. I mean, it's one of those really tough spots for anybody, particularly when you're older in age and his record wasn't that great going out. But if you return to a three-round environment, which this fight is eligible for, considering it's not a world title fight, you have an extremely different analysis. You have a very different projection from a guy like Conor, who's known to get you out of there early and generally not win a decision. Three rounds changes everything, and I hope that the UFC takes that into consideration. I think if they're still picking the weight class number, they can also pick the round number, and from a competitive standpoint, it brings us something very different.
Yeah, I think the rounds are interesting, but I do believe the weight class was kind of what drew everybody to this when Conor said he wanted to fight at 185. Here's some sound listening to Michael Chandler talk just about that.
I don't care whether he wants to fight at 185, 170, 205, whatever it might be. You got to remember, he doesn't want to fight 155 because he wants everybody to believe that he's bigger than he is. He can't fight at one, or he, in his mind, can't fight at 170 because I called him out at 170. Therefore, I'm not doing as I told. He's doing what I said at 170. So he had to say 185, just like he did in the intro scene of The Ultimate Fighter telling me that it was going to be at 185.
I love the fact that Conor called his shot at the beginning of The Ultimate Fighter and said, even after, this is what we're fighting at. But for you, Chael, what's the most realistic weight this fight could take place?
I'm very confident in telling you that it's going to be at 170 pounds. I'm just suggesting for you, this fight is a little bit different than most fights that Dana White would put on. By example, when they tried to put it on a year ago, it had a very meaningful grudge. It came off the greatest marketing tool our sport has ever had, known as The Ultimate Fighter. Right now, though, that appears to be a little bit more manufactured, and we don't have a contendership, and we don't have a title on the line. I mean, it's one of these situations of what exactly are these boys fighting for? And if they're fighting because they just want to fight, then the weight class doesn't overly matter. I mean, I've got to bring that to your attention. If this starts to become a retirement fight or Conor's last fight, like, there's still a few details that are very important that we get in. I understand Chandler's stance. His stance is purely, I won't let anything get in the way. Whatever the numbers are, I don't care. Just bring me this guy. But he needs to be careful what he's saying. If he truly doesn't care, it's going to have a hard time making the audience care. This fight, like all fights, has got to be about something. And for right now, I don't know why these boys are fighting.
You know, Brett Okamoto made a point about this, Chael. He said 170 because then at least it matters. Because at 185, you're fighting just to fight. And it has to have some sort of meaning. It cannot be irrelevant to the people that are watching. I ask you this, Chael. Michael Chandler, I made a video on my YouTube channel, and I spoke about how he is dancing to Conor McGregor's music and how Conor McGregor is Geppetto, and he's playing Pinocchio. He was offended to the point that he went and commented. He actually left a comment with normal people kind of almost saying something to me because he couldn't just sit idly by anymore taking the shots. Is there a danger in Michael Chandler doing that, taking everything that Conor says and running with it? Because I believe that that's why we're still not at this fight yet. I feel if Michael Chandler would have said, okay, fine, I'll move on from him, they would have already fought in the octagon.
Yeah, no, I think you bring up a really good point. I mean, don't forget, Chandler isn't doing this to promote something. He is playing a game of chess. He does not have a signed bout agreement. He hasn't been offered a signed bout agreement. As far as having a verbal and a promise, He is at that point. And that's why I'm bringing up the rounds in the weight class. Like, this thing is not done. That is my point, gentlemen. So when Chandler's saying this, he's just trying to box him in. But Conor is very difficult. He's slippery. He's good at this. I mean, the video he put out, he telegraphed it 2 days in advance, said he would put it out. It was pre-recorded. It was pre-edited. I mean, all of these things are done for a very specific reason, including the tease of the weight class. It's a way out. If we can't come to the agreement and you're the one that's flinching, I win in perception. I can move on. There's just a lot happening here. This fight and this deal is not done. Maybe that's my biggest message I'm trying to tell you.
You know, even though this fight doesn't have the belt up or we're not making it for the BMF belt, it does feel like it's for something because it's Conor McGregor, because it's Michael Chandler, and these are the sort of guys that can provide that explosion that makes people tune in. But how confident are you, Chael, that this fight actually takes place next summer?
Yeah, and RC, I love how you said that because I would say the same thing. I'm looking for a new favorite fighter. My favorite, Daniel Cormier being one of them, is now retired. But Frankie Edgar, when he left, I've got to replace him. And I got to tell you that because Chandler might be my favorite fighter. I really enjoy watching him. I enjoy listening to him. I find him to be a fascinating and a good person. Conor McGregor, to your point, RC, Red Panty Night is still very real. That is the top box office draw in our sport. But how convinced am I that these guys are actually going to fight? Look, they're not licensed, I can tell you that. That piece of paperwork is very relevant. They haven't completed the drug testing pool, I can tell you that. Those 6 months are very relevant. They do not have signed bout agreements. So as of right now, I'm not confident that that fight is taking place on June 29th.
Wow. Chael, to build off that point, my last question before I let you go, I know you're busy. Jets setting around the world. But Chael, Conor McGregor, as you said, cannot be taken at his word much. People have lost faith in him and him showing up. If Conor McGregor doesn't show up this time, if it doesn't happen, as you are saying it's possible, is it done? Is it over for Conor McGregor? Will he do so much damage by not fighting once again that people will say, you know what, we're done with Conor McGregor. He can go on and do whatever he wants to do in his life. He's just not going to take up our time anymore.
If he is the one that blinks, I think will hurt him. No, I don't believe it will take him that far. Don't forget, it was 4 days before he said he was going to box Pacquiao. So, no, we don't necessarily need Conor to tell us the truth as much as entertain us. But, guys, I do want to tell you this. Chandler confirmed it through social media. Conor did it in a pre-recorded, edited piece that he dropped 2 days later. But these things are important. Because Dana White has not confirmed it. When we talk about what Chandler's doing to box Conor in, I'm not convinced that Conor isn't perfectly sincere. I'm not convinced that Conor isn't trying to box the UFC in. I'm not convinced that he hasn't done this, got us talking about it, to make them say, you don't have a main event yet. You haven't announced it. When you do, it's me and Chandler because it's going to be too hard to run this back. That's the piece of the puzzle that nobody knows. We're all assuming it's Conor that's holding out. Conor is saying it's the organization that just has yet to book him. Of course, there was lots of rules, the USADA fallout, some moving parts. I think Conor's a lot more sincere than he gets credit for, and I think he does want to do that fight with Chandler on the 29th of June.
Listen, Chael, we appreciate
thank you, man, for joining us again.
You can't ahead, get DC. That anywhere. That analysis, you can get that nowhere. And for that, gentlemen, you're both welcome. Goodbye, turkeys.
Boom. Appreciate you, brother.
I forgot.
He took over the show, man. He took over the freaking show.
I forgot, RC. It's his shtick. He has to hang up on us.
Is that a thing?
We don't get to dismiss Chael Sonnen. Oh, yeah, that's his thing. He has to hang up on us. We don't get to say bye to him. He just hangs up. He tells us that we were grateful to be in the presence of his greatness, and then he hangs up the phone. So, RC, we're guessing on Conor. Fights that have been announced are fights in the lightweight division, one being a bit surprising to me, RC. Armand Sarukian is fighting Charles Oliveira. We all thought that Charles Oliveira was the guy fighting for the belt next. But when this fight get announced, it throws in for a loop. Islam is hurt. They said he's not back until July. Is this a great fight for Charles Oliveira? And how excited are you to see these guys now that have hung around the top of this division finally fighting some of these younger fighters?
I think this is a scary fight for Charles Oliveira. When you're talking about Armand Sarukian and what we saw him do to Benil Dariush, dispatching him with the KO, and now Charles Oliveira, who is coming off of fighting well against Benil as well. We saw him do whatever he wanted to do. When he wanted to get off the mat, he got off the mat. When he wanted to pressure him against the cage, he pressured him against the cage. But he's now fighting this up-and-comer who is new to the top five that has an opportunity, I think, with this win to put his name in the hat as the next contender to the championship held by Islam Makhachev. I think it's also strange that Justin Gaethje is not a part of this equation or not somehow mentioned in this. To you, DC, is this the number one fight? Because we haven't heard, even though Islam Makhachev is injured, we haven't heard the word interim champion mentioned with this fight.
You know what's funny, RC? First thing, you said Charles fought well against Benil. Armin fought well against Benil. Benil, one of the nicest guys in the world, bro. You just hate to become the guy that everybody's like springboarding himself off of, especially after you've had such a great run of fights to put yourself in that position and you get destroyed in two fights back to back. Just kind of sucks to be Benil right now. But in terms of Armin Tsarukyan, he's a very dangerous guy in the division. So many people, and this happens when a guy is thought to be dangerous. Everybody has an opinion on Islam and Armin. Even Dan Hooker, as recently as a couple weeks ago, said Islam will do everything in his power not to fight Armin Tsarukyan again because he's better, he's improving, he has a great matchup, he has a great style for him. Obviously, with Oliveira fighting Tsarukyan, it tells you that the champion will not be able to not fight Armin Tsarukyan if he gets the job done. This division is on the move, man. And I believe that this is very telling to see Charles Oliveira say, I am going to fight this young, up-and-coming, dangerous guy, even though I was supposed to fight for the belt back in October. It's a great matchup. And it is going to tell us if Armin is ready for Islam. And if he beats Charles, how could he not be the number one contender? I know my boy Justin Gaethje will have something to say about that because he's the BMF champion. But I believe that when you fight Charles Oliveira, if he can beat Charles Oliveira after Benil Dariush and everything else he's done, I believe the guy earns a title fight. I just love what the division is doing right now. With Poirier also fighting against Dustin's fighting the other kid, Benoit Saint-Denis. And then the division's moving, and it makes it exciting. But in terms of Justin Gaethje, RC, maybe it's going to be him and Max Holloway. Because how is he just not getting talked about when all these big fights are breaking?
But I'm saying, like, that's the thing for Justin Gaethje, who did just win the BMF championship that we've already seen in there with the champions. We saw him against Khabib Nurmagomedov. We saw him against Charles Oliveira. And he's always seemed to be sort of a cut above, I mean, sort of a cut below what the champion is. And now if you have Armin Tsarukyan beating Benil Dariush, also now if he wins against Charles Oliveira, who has beat Gaethje and Poirier during his championship run, I think that puts Armin Tsarukyan in that next spot to get a shot at Islam Makhachev. But then if you're Justin Gaethje, you're sort of on the outside looking in when you put yourself in this position with a great performance against Rafael Fiziev and then obviously the head kick that knocked out Dustin Poirier in the BMF matchup. I think that this division, once again, keeps continuing to show us that it's the top division in all of the sport in the UFC, and right now it's top heavy, and we have a new contender in Armin Tsarukyan.
RC, you know what's very interesting to me about the lightweights? For so long, we had a certain group of guys fighting each other. It was Charles, it was Dustin, it was Justin, it was Benil, it was Tony Ferguson at a time when he was still mixing there. Dan Hooker was getting those types of fights. It took Islam a long time to get in that mix because nobody would fight him. He kind of got to a title fight after beating Tony Ferguson because Tony fought him. Nobody else is really fighting him. No, I don't think he fought Tony Ferguson. I don't know who Islam earned his title fight off of, but he didn't get to fight all those guys. Now we see something different in terms of these guys are fighting the younger guys. Poirier's fighting Saint-Denis. Armin Tsarukyan is fighting Charles Oliveira. One question is this. Is Armin Tsarukyan, after beating Charles Oliveira, ready? And two, how much danger is there in fighting these guys? Because Poirier is fighting Saint-Denis. He's number 12. Poirier is number three. And RC, how much convincing do you think it took to make Charles and Dustin break out of what they've been doing for so long and fight these tough, young, up-and-coming guys?
I would say this. For Dustin, it's less odd to me or less interesting than it is for Charles Oliveira. Because with Charles Oliveira, after beating Benil Dariush, it was sort of a foregone conclusion. We would get to see him against Islam Makhachev, and then obviously he has the injury. Alexander Volkanovski takes his spot. Whereas for Dustin, you just lost to Justin Gaethje. You want to be active. You want to fight. We feel like we fought everyone sort of in that cluster of what we've known from the lightweights. You can't go back and fight Michael Chandler. There's not going to be another Conor fight. You just fought Justin Gaethje. Benil has lost twice. It's sort of, okay, let me go show against this young dude that I still have it. For Charles Oliveira, losing to Armand Sarukian takes you out of championship contention. You're going to have to go take another fight and win that fight before you get another opportunity at Islam Makhachev. And how long could that take, DC? With Islam being on the snide for a little bit with injury, he'd have to take the next fight against Armand Sarukian, and then Charles Oliveira would have to wait even till after that and have to win another fight. And so I think for Charles Oliveira, this is one of the riskiest decisions he's made in his UFC career.
You know, the only guy that was willing to do that before was Justin Gaethje. He fought Rafael Fiziev, and we were in London together watching, going, wow, this is amazing. But now all these guys are stepping up. And I believe that is important for the division to be sustained as the best division in the UFC and RC. It's in Miami, Florida, where Dustin Poirier and those guys are fighting. These guys are fighting in T-Mobile. Poirier and Saint-Denis are fighting in Miami. RC, I am extending the invitation to you right now. You've watched fights all around the world, RC. You've been to London. You've been to Vegas. Go to Miami for a UFC fight night, RC. That city hosting a UFC event is amazing, dude. It never closes. You can go to the fight. Great restaurants stay open all night. The fights are fantastic. The crowd goes crazy. It is a fantastic place to host a UFC fight night, especially when you got fighters like Dustin Poirier on the fight card and Sean O'Malley, Chito Vera in the headline. But RC, another guy that was announced over the break was MVP. MVP is going to be making his UFC debut, and he's going to fight against Kevin Holland. But also, Robert Whittaker is going to fight Paulo Costa. We got Jeff Neal and Ian Machado Garry. That one's going to have a lot of bad blood to it. Gilbert Burns versus Jack Della, and then Aljo is going up to fight against Calvin Kattar. But the one I want to focus on is Michael Venom Page. RC, you know you're a fun fighter with a lot of hype whenever you come into a wrestling gym, because MVP was in Bellator. He came into my academy, and all my kids were like, I want to meet Michael Venom Page. I want a photo with Michael Venom Page. RC, this is not you who hosts a show with me walking into my academy for my kids to know. This is not Conor McGregor or Leon Edwards or Kamaru Usman. This is a guy that's been fighting in Bellator that resonates because of his fighting style. How excited are you to see MVP finally fight inside the UFC's octagon?
I'm extremely excited. I want to know if he's going to throw punches and do dances and really give it to the people like he always did in Bellator. And then we also saw he had the one bare knuckle fight against Mike Perry. I think this is exciting to get some new blood into the UFC. And what better matchup than Kevin Holland, who is always exciting in the octagon. Michael Venom Page sort of has, like, MVP sort of has that neighborhood superstar feel. Kind of like, you know, the Hot Boys song with Manny Fresh, where even though he's not a household name as it pertains to mixed martial arts, when you're talking about the best of the best and the champions, you can always click on YouTube or get on your social medias and there's an MVP highlight. There's something that he did inside the cage that people are absolutely fiending for because of the style, because of the danger he puts himself in being himself in the fight. And I think this is the perfect matchup to introduce him to the UFC audience, to the UFC fans, and I'm excited to see it.
RC, you said fiending on TV. You said fiending on TV.
They can't fiend?
You're from Louisiana. You're from Louisiana bad, bro. Like, bad. You're from Louisiana really, really bad. I mean, they told me what I was supposed to do next. I can't remember now because you said fiending on TV.
You're such a bad host sometimes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dog, UFC 300 had some fights announced, but what we didn't get was a main event, main card, all kinds of things. What would you like to see as a person that's watched this thing for a long time? From the fans' perspective, RC, like, what do you want to see headline UFC 300? Former champions, championship fights. What do you want to see when you walk into, when you walk into T-Mobile at UFC 300?
I would love to see Daniel Cormier versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, Michael Chiesa said it. I am on board for this. I could be in your corner, DC. DC, could you imagine me being your corner, man? I would be like Roger Mayweather, God bless his soul. I would just be like, get him, DC. DC, Brock Lesnar trying to get you. Punch him back, DC. Grab him. Wrestle him. Like, I would be given the worst instruction, bro. But you know what? I think when you look at – I would be hella nervous. When you look at UFC 300, right, there has to be fights for belts. And then you start to have to kind of think about who's fighting. What, Strickland's in January, right? January –
Yep, he's in January. 20th. Next week.
Strickland's January 20th. And I think, who else we got? We got Sean O'Malley and Cheeto. You know, and so
that's
like
in
all
March.
Of those.
That's in March.
That's in March. Right.
You so got you Volk have to start in February.
Right. So you're kind of dwindling down the list of people you could see. I don't know if it's we try to get Tom Aspinall back inside the octagon and have him fight and defend the interim belt. I think, there you go. Zhang Weili and Alexa Grasso. I would love to see that fight. That would be a fight I would love to see as well. But I think they need to start thinking, I don't know if this works for you, DC. We need to start thinking about super fights. whether it's finding fights where we can get guys who are close or who have a tough time making their weight to fight someone at the in the next weight class, and start sort of working around where we're talking about names, right, more than what the fights mean for a division.
You know what's crazy, RC? I was thinking as you were listing champions, well, Leon Edwards is available, but as much as we love Rocky, does Rocky's name resonate enough for him to headline UFC 300? I mean, UFC 200 was headlined by Amanda Nunes and Miesha Tate. Granted, I fought Anderson Silva on there. Jose Aldo fought Frankie Edgar. And Brock Lesnar fought. So while they were the headline, Brock Lesnar headlined that fight card, even from the co-main event. It was supposed to be me and Jones, but then Jones obviously fell out. But does Leon Edwards, Bilal Muhammad move the needle enough to even sit atop the fight card? I would say put them on there. I think that Zhang Weili versus Alexa Grasso, Leon Edwards versus Bilal Muhammad should be on there. Those are two title fights that work for me. But I do agree with you in this sense. We need an attraction. We need an attraction for that fight night. I remember Brock calling me the night his fight got announced and saying, Merry Christmas, DC, because he knew we were going to sell a ton of pay-per-views. He was like, Merry Christmas to you and your family. But it's like, we need an attraction, because the moment Brock was on the card, even though it was me and Jones and we're on Good Morning America and everything else, it needed a little bit more, because it's one of those big cards and you need something a little more than just title fights. The event needs to feel bigger than something we see over the course of the year. So I think you got to bring somebody back. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like Brock or Ronda or any of those fighters from that generation past is really nipping at the buds of the executives to say that we need to be fighting on that fight card.
Yeah, I think the, you know, you, and this probably doesn't make sense, and maybe people don't want to see it after his last fight. If I'm Dana White, you know, I go to New Zealand and I sit in front of Israel Adesanya and I ask him, what is it going to take for you to fight Alex Pereira again? Like, what is it going to take to get you inside that octagon? Mm-hmm. Like, I know your last fight didn't go how you wanted it to go. You know, you made the joke about 2027. What is it going to take to get you to come off of this hiatus, come off of this sabbatical, and make the third fight between you two men in the UFC what we headline UFC 300 with? And I believe even with Izzy's last performance, that's a fight that gets people going.
And honestly, RC, because then you could say he's chasing the light heavyweight championship. Now you add another thing to it, right? It's not just me and Alex for the third time. I just knocked him out. He knocked me out. And now I'm challenging him up a weight to become a UFC two-weight champion. Yes, now you start building enough of a story to where you can start making the sense of having them headline that fight card. And I think that works. I really do believe that works.
It's a great idea. Think about it, DC. If we get the other two fights you're talking about, if Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira is the main event, and now you have Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad, now you have Weili and Grasso, that's a fight card everyone shows up to excited to see, because you got those two headliners at the top. DC, it's 2024. You said early on, we don't do well with predictions. Well, you do sometimes because you cheat. You call your friends over in Las Vegas at the UFC headquarters and you ask them questions. They show you the board that we revealed on the pivot that time, and then everybody thinks you're the smartest human in the world. But I'm coming to you right now. What are the top three fights you want to see in 2024?
I ain't got nothing. Okay, Number one, I got to see Jones and Miocic. I have to see those guys fight finally. We've been teased with it for so long. They told us we're going to have to wait for it. So, hey, make it happen. And I also know that it's going to be a fun fight. And when those guys walk to the octagon, because of what they've been to the sport, it's going to really mean a lot to people who are in attendance and the people watching. I got to see Chandler versus McGregor, RC. RC, Conor has to fight him. Please, Conor. I'm asking you as a friend of Michael Chandler, give this man this fight. We need Michael Chandler to get the bag. We need him to be rewarded for all the time that he has waited for this fight. Please. His patience deserves to be rewarded. And then, bro, I think Tom Aspinall needs to get his chance against the winner of Jones versus Miocic. I think that he has to get an opportunity. And now he's finally stepping up and saying stuff. He said, Jones, you need to fight people who build your legacy. That's what John said. He goes, me? Great idea, absolutely. The UFC, do you want to fight Tom? Stipe, no. John, no. Tom, he gives him the old hand on the chin like, well, you guys want to build legacy. I'm clear to the fight. Why won't either of you fight me? I need to see Tom Aspinall get his chance, man, because he seems to be the next generation of heavyweight.
Yeah, Tom is starting to figure it out. Remember, we thought that he missed his chance on the microphone after the knockout of Sergey Pavlovich. But now he's starting to say, okay, let me speak up a little bit because the squeaky wheel sometimes gets the oil. So I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley, Marab, also John Jones, Aspinall, right? John Jones, Aspinall, and also we're going to go Moreno, Pantoja 3. Those are the three fights I want to see. I'm a huge Brandon Moreno fan, and that's not the order. I want Jones Aspinall first. I'm a huge Brandon Moreno fan. Like, I just am. And I thought that first fight between him and Pantoja was an absolute barn burner. And after watching Pantoja defend against Brandon Rival, I think that Brandon Moreno can beat him. And that dude just fights so hard. He has so much guts. I think he wins that fight. O'Malley Marab is just like, ever since dude stole his Michael Jackson jacket, I've been wanting to see that, right? Marab get an opportunity to avenge his best friend, Aljamain Sterling. But Sean O'Malley, in order to do that, has to beat Chito Vera. And I feel the same way you feel about Jones and Aspinall. I know the Jones Miocic fight is the legacy fight, but I think Jones Aspinall is one of those fights where John, who I believe has cemented his greatness, gets to take it to another level, right? At heavyweight, he gets to say, oh, this is your young dog. This is the guy. Put him up against the greatest ever and watch what happens. And if not, Tom Aspinall truly gets to ascend to super greatness. And now that heavyweight championship belt means more than it ever has.
Yeah, those are great fights. You know, isn't it crazy, RC, how something so petty as Marab taking the jacket is like, yo, I got to see these dudes fight. It's like somebody stealing something when you were growing up or putting that stupid thing on your shoulder and they say when they knock it off, they're talking about your mama. Hey. You knock that off, you talk about
Hey, DC, or when you put your shoulder against each other and just walk around in a circle for 5 minutes and hoping somebody gonna punch you. You just walk around. I wish you would. I wish you would do something. Hey, DC, I'll fight over anything, dog. That is, you take my Michael Jackson jacket, we gotta throw hands, dog.
RC, when you used to put your shoulder on his shoulder, you just walking around in a circle like, most of the time, you just hoping that he don't hit you. Most of the time, you like hoping he doesn't hit you because you kind of scared of him, just like he's scared of you. So you're like, I'm going to just keep pushing him because I cannot be afraid. That's what happened with Marab and Sean. Marab took his jacket. So now these dudes got to fight. Yo, those fighting words. Dog, this is crazy. All right, RC. Now we got to figure out who do you believe is going to be the male fighter of the year in 2024?
I'm glad we talked about it. I'm picking Sean O'Malley because I believe, and you taught me this, you win that championship, you get some percentages better. Sean O'Malley beats Chito Vera. Marab, if he does fight Triple C, beats Triple C, and we watch these two men fight. Marab with that relentless competitiveness, the 48 or 49 takedown attempts in one fight. Against a right hand that just won't quit, that also took his boy Aljo out. Sean O'Malley is going to be my male fighter of the year.
And, we're very wishful. I mean, Sean O'Malley fights 3 times in 1 year. That would be crazy. And if he did, RC, and he won all the fights, his superstar level would be, like, maxed out. He might actually be like Conor McGregor. He would go to the moon if he fought 3 times and won those 3 fights. Mine is going to be Tom Aspinall. Because I believe that Tom Aspinall will get his opportunity. And I'm not saying he's going to win. But I believe that on that stage, on that level, when he gets the opportunity to fight one of those greatest of all time types of guys, he's going to do so well that he's going to be looked at or viewed like one of the best fighters in the world. And guys, the reason I'm tiptoeing around this is because I'm not allowed to pick fights. So I'm just telling you, I believe that Tom Aspinall will find his way into the conversation by the end of the year, RC.
Yeah, there goes the cop-out. For my female fighter of the year, and I hope she gets enough opportunities to defend her belt, it's Zhang Weili. Her explosiveness just jumps off the screen every time you watch her. I love her talking about moving up and fighting Alexa Grasso. I think that only shows how great she truly is. And if not for two matchups against Rose Namajunas, we are already talking about Zhang Weili the way we talked about Amanda Nunes, the way we talked about Valentina Shevchenko. And I believe this is the year she puts herself in those conversations.
She cements herself as she already is one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. She's just a phenomenal fighter. And I mean, RC, they got stories coming out of the performance at Student China that she broke every record. Like, she is just a phenomenal athlete, and she has proven that time and time again. But, you know, for me, I think it's going to be Erin Blanchfield. I believe that Erin Blanchfield has an opportunity, because, RC, think about this. She already said that if there was nobody to fight at 135 for the belt, she was in. We've seen her fight some of the best at 125. She's always in. I believe that one of these opportunities will come to fruition for her, and I believe that she will put herself in the conversation for Female Fighter of the Year.
All right, so now we have to go to one new champion at the end of the year. Let me get back to my list here. And my my one new champion is an old champion, and this is going to surprise you, DC. Jamahal Hill gets his belt back. That's my new champion at the end of the year. I feel like he's seen the disrespect. Everybody's putting out these videos of how Alex Pereira will knock him out and all of those things. And I believe that he gets his belt back when he gets his matchup.
RC, you believe that even though he's saying that he's not going to take him down, and he's going to just stand with him, you think that Jamahal can get that belt back and he's just going to stand?
DC, this is my question to you, DC. I know, and you know, Jamahal Hill is not as skilled a striker as Israel Adesanya is. He's not, right? Israel Adesanya is a more skilled striker. And let's say Israel Adesanya front kicked Alex, or he question mark kicked him, or some sort of crazy roundhouse kick. Then I would be like, man, Jamahal don't have that in his bag. I saw two fights in a row. Izzy hit Alex Pereira with a 1-2, wobbled him one time, knocked him out the other time. If you're telling me Jamahal Hill don't have that puncher's chance to win, then I am disagreeing with you. And I think he's going to be willing to stand in front of him and strike. We've seen Alex be touched, and I believe getting touched by Jamahal will be the hardest he's been punched since becoming a member of the UFC.
Yeah, you know, and Jamahal also showed against Glover how tough he is and how durable he is under some very, very tough circumstances. For me, I chose Shavkat Rakhmonov because that dude he's just good, man. He's just really, really good. Hey, and if it ain't going to be Leon Edwards, then I believe that this dude, Shavkat, he's amazing, bro.
Call.
The guy's big, he's strong. He can strike, he can wrestle, he can do everything. He seems to have all of the things that a champion need in order to hold the belt by the end of 2024. Hey, I'm not sure about any of this. I would be, if anyone asked me, do I believe that Leon Edwards would be the champion at the end of the year? I'd probably say yeah. Do I believe that Bilal Muhammad could be the champ by the end of the year? I'd probably say yes. Shavkat, yes. Because these guys are all so good.
You can't say yes to everything. You can't say yes to everything, DC.
This is not your food choices.
This is not food choices. You can't say yes to everything.
These are hard questions. My point being, RC, that everybody's so skilled now, it's like hard to see who could beat who. It's a very tough sport. RC, it's time to tap in and tap out. First time in 2024. Corporate Jake, hit us up.
All right, guys. Rumors are swirling that Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz will have a rematch, but this time in a boxing ring. RC, tap in or tap out on a Masvidal-Diaz boxing match?
I tap out. I watched Nate Diaz box, and I didn't like it. Like, I'm sorry. If you put him in the octagon, I'd watch these two men fight again, even though Jorge dominated him for the BMF title. But if he boxes and he looks anything like he looked against Jake Paul, double punching people and all that, I don't want to see it. No, I tap out. I tap out, DC. And you can tell me whatever you want. I don't want to watch it.
No. I actually agree. I tap out because even in the mixed martial arts fight, RC, we kind of had the idea that Masvidal would be the better striker. And Nate was the better ground guy. Nate was the better wrestler, the better grappler. And Masvidal dominated that. So now you're telling me you're going to now limit Nate Diaz to fighting George in the only area that we felt he held the advantage going into fight one. Yeah, I don't anticipate it going very well for my boy Nate Diaz. So, yeah, I'm going to tap out on that one. I'm tapping out.
Hi, guys. Speaking of boxing, announced the other day, Francis Ngannou will step back into the ring against former unified world champion Anthony Joshua later this year. DC, tap in or tap out, Ngannou can beat Joshua.
I tap in. You know why? Because Anthony Joshua is not Tyson Fury 1, and we watch Anthony Joshua fight against, I'm losing the guy's name.
Ruiz,
the little fat Mexican dude. Yep, he beat him the first time. And in the second fight, Anthony was so cautious. Usyk beat him. He's very cautious. And after watching Francis knock down Tyson in the way that he did, I believe Anthony's going to be very cautious. And by being cautious, he's going to allow Francis to be in the fight. And I believe that Francis is going to get after him. Now, the odds makers don't think so. Francis is a plus 500 underdog again.
Yeah, you know, I tap in, and I do believe that Anthony Joshua is, as Lennox Lewis once put it, a very skilled pugilist. But when you watch Francis Ngannou against Tyson Fury, he was in no way overwhelmed. And we saw the power with that left hand knocked down Fury. Think about Anthony Joshua. There's days he shows up, and he could be a world beater. And then there's days he shows up, and it feels like anybody in the world can beat him. So I tap in that Francis Ngannou can get the win.
All right, guys, we know champ
fights.
Jake, wait, stop.
RC, isn't that crazy how different this is? When he fought Tyson Fury, we all thought he was just in over his head. Fast forward 6 months now, we think this dude can actually beat Anthony Joshua.
That's because we
it's
saw it,
it's crazy what one night can do.
Yeah, you had an opportunity to truly see it, and you saw that he wasn't overwhelmed by the moment, but also wasn't overwhelmed by skill when we've seen Tyson Fury just flat out outskill so many heavyweight boxers.
I guess we know champ fights are becoming more and more prevalent in the UFC. DC participated himself. So RC, tap in or tap out, we see more than one champ versus champ fight in 2024.
I tap in that you'll see more than one, but I don't think you'll see many more than one. There may be two of these fights. You also have to realize it has to be the right time. It has to be the right champion. They have to have solidified themselves within their weight class. And so if we do get to see Wei Li, Grasso, I believe there may be one more, but there aren't enough champions who've solidified their spot within their own divisions to be making moves up or down to fight other champions.
I thought that we would see more than one because I thought that we'd get a fight between either 55 going 70 or 70 going 85. But Makhachev's injury now throws a wrench in all of that. So I believe that we see Grasso versus Wei Li, but that's it. I think that'll be the only champ fight we see this year because I believe that Leon Edwards has work to do and I believe that Sean Strickland has work to do because if he gets through Dracus, he can fight Izzy again. And if Dracus wins, Izzy's going to want to fight Dracus because of all the history and the fight that they had scheduled. So, yeah, I think it'll be one, RC. I think we're going to just see the ladies do it this year.
All right, guys, last one. Recently on Joe Rogan's podcast, DC and Joe got to talking about alpha males. And DC said this about he and John Jones' brawl in the casino. We get to fighting. I am on my back, and there was a thought to bite the MF-er. RC, tap in or tap out. DC should have went full alpha male and bit John Jones.
I tap all the way in. If we're fighting within a casino, there are no rules. This is not in the octagon. It does not make you soft to bite a man. And if you got to get bit, that's what dogs do. And so I wish my boy would have been. We trying to win RC. At all times. Ain't no rules.
RC, Joe was talking about Mike Tyson bit Lennox Lewis on the leg. He bit Evander Holyfield on the ear. I was just saying that when you're an alpha male and you find yourselves on the bottom, it doesn't work. You don't usually, you're not there. So it's so unfamiliar, you go into survival mode. And when you go into survival mode, at times, the teeth come out. I mean, it is what it is. I about bit him. How about bit him, Marcel? Hey, I'm down here. I can't believe this.
All, bro. I wouldn't have been mad at you at all. That's an unfamiliar position for you, dog. You don't be there a lot.
I hate that. On your back? No, I'm not trying to lay on my back for nobody, man. What's wrong with you? RC, listen. It's been a long time since we've done the show. I'm excited that we're back. But RC, guess what? I'm in Louisiana tomorrow, baby. I'm flying into Baton Rouge. Dude, my wrestling team is wrestling in New Orleans on Thursday. We wrestle in Baton Rouge on Friday and Saturday. So I'm hoping to see you if you're in town. I doubt you're going to be there.
I'll be there Saturday. I'm in town Friday night.
Okay.
I'll be there Saturday. Also, too, Marcus Freeman told me he talked to you. Marcus Freeman said he talked to you as well.
Marcus Freeman was in Gilroy. Yep. He was in Gilroy. Yeah, he was in Gilroy, my guy. He got to see me. He's a good man.
Yeah,
he's a really good man.
Yeah, he told me you were awesome, man. But we're back for 2024. You get, check us out wherever you get your podcast on Tuesday, ESPN2 at midnight. Everything's on YouTube. I love DC. DC loves me sometimes. He's a two division champ and a Hall of Famer. And I'm a guy that used to play football.
Get us a tour, LSU. Get us a tour, LSU, RC. Get us a tour.